What is revival?
What is
meetings? Why do we have these meetings, revival meetings, these guest speakers? What are we seeking when we have these meetings? What are we expecting? I don't think it would be this way here, and I'm not just saying that because I'm the pastor here or I attend church here, but there are a lot of people when they have meetings, they have special meetings, they're really just looking for a source of further entertainment. They want to laugh and, you know, hear jokes and watch the antics of certain preachers and think, wow, you know, and it's really nothing to do with you or me getting right with God and fulfilling the purpose that God has for us. And we have to be cautious, don't we? I mean, all of us do. That could happen without having a special speaker. That could happen with me as your pastor up here preaching, or one of our assistants. That could happen with any of us as we sing or as we minister to others in teaching and in our ministry. We can somehow find ourselves getting involved in it and wanting maybe something that's appealing to the flesh and not necessary to the spirit. But church and worship is a spiritual thing, and we need our spirit fed, and we need to worship, and if we're going to worship, well, we're going to have to do it in spirit man. The flesh really wants nothing to do with God and the things of God. And so in Psalm 139, if you have your Bible open there, I want to share a verse of Scripture or two with you, and then I want to talk to you some about what would be a good thing for us to do. And I want to use this little checklist some of what Dr. Comfort sent us, because it's very important that we understand revival is not just, God, I want to invite a bunch of people to come so they can get right with God. You know, revival is you getting right with God. Revival is me getting right with God. Amen. You see, if we're not careful when we have these nights, and I'm not opposed to these nights, I'm all for it. You know, when we have these special campaigns and we try to get visitors to come, we'll think, man, you know, they need it. I got to get them here because they need it. No, you need it. I need it. We need God to do something in our lives, you see. And so I don't want to lose focus and lose track of why we're having this meeting. We're having this meeting because we need God to do something in our lives. And as God does something in our lives, it will begin to affect other people. I will tell you this. People that are where they need to be with God or walking with God, you've already began to invite people. You're anticipating this meeting. Doesn't mean God can't do more in your life. Doesn't mean God can't take you to another level. You've already began to pray for that lost family member, that neighbor, that person you work with. You've already began to invite people. You've already begun to fast. You've already begun to pray. You've already begun to expect God to do something. But what about those that haven't? Well, I hope tonight will help you. I hope tonight will help you to see revivals for you, too. It's not just for a group of people outside the church or a group of people even within the church that maybe we think, boy, I tell you, they really need to get right. They really need to, you know what? It's about us. It's about me. It's about you. We all could use a little help in our spiritual life. In Psalm 139, the scripture says, if you look at it there in verse number 23, Psalm 139, in verse number 23, the psalmist says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." It's quite a statement. "And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Search me. Try me. Lead me. God, do something in my life. Know some things about me. Make me listen, God already knows it. What the psalmist is saying is, make me conscientious of the fact that you do know, that you are watching, that you see, that you hear everything I say, that you see everything I do. You know every thought I think, God, make me conscientious of that. I think it'll make us walk different. I really do. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, would you use these few moments and help us as we go over this checklist to truly allow you to search our hearts? God, I'm not asking that I would search their hearts or they would search each other's hearts or they would search my heart, but God, I'm praying that each one of us would ask, as the psalmist here tonight, that you would search our hearts. And God, I pray that we would lay bare our hearts and that we would not reserve or hold on to or try to cover sin and wrongdoing in our life. But God, may we lay it open before you, realizing that all things are naked and open unto thee in whom we have to do. And we will thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I just want to take this piece of paper and go over a few things with you. Okay? Now, I hope you got this piece of paper too. You say, what's this with pieces of paper? It's filled with Bible scripture. It's filled with Bible scripture. Let's look at a few things. Are you in fellowship with the Lord? No, really. I'm not asking, I don't mean that casually. You've been talking to God? Is God talking to you? Are you communicating with God? See, that's important. We hear it all the time. If we're not careful, we'll hear it so much that we'll think, well, you know, sure I am. I'm in church, aren't I? Well, that doesn't mean you're in fellowship with God. I have a Bible, don't I? I teach Sunday school, don't I? That doesn't mean you're in fellowship with God. Are you in fellowship with God? Does God speak to you? Did He speak to you today? Did you speak to Him today? Is there conversation between you and God? This is important. And so each one of us must ask ourselves this question, am I in fellowship with the Lord? Now as a pastor, and I know you're not a pastor, many of you, as Christians, we are concerned if our fellow brethren are in fellowship with God. But we ought to be mainly concerned that we're in fellowship with God. How am I going to help somebody that's not in fellowship with God if I'm not in fellowship with God? And so I want to ask you to do what the psalmist said. Search me, O God. Search me. Right now. When you answer that question, is it an indictment? Can you say it? Yes, I'm in fellowship with God. There's nothing between me and the Savior. I have no unconfessed, unlamented sin in my life. I'm not holding on to some sinful habit. I'm not sinning in darkness. I'm not hiding behind some sin. I'm not sneaking and prowling around. My life is open in the light. God sees what's going on. Not perfect, but I'm in fellowship with God. Another thing, do I have daily devotions? That might help you answer number one. Ah, preacher, you don't have to have daily devotions to be in fellowship with God. Well, I would beg to differ with that. Daily, do you spend time with God? I don't mean hours, though that wouldn't be a bad thing, would it? Would it? Do you read your Bible? You know, some people get mad when they're asked that question. Do you read your Bible every day? I get tired of hearing the preacher say that. Do you? Is it because you don't read your Bible every day? I get tired of the preacher talking about a prayer closet and getting along with God and fellowshipping with God. I'm weary of that. Why? Because you're not willing to do it? And you're willing just to go on? I hope that's not the case. So why not just say, search me, O God. Search me. Know my heart. Try me. God, I need some help. I used to care if I was in fellowship with you. I used to care if I read your word and I prayed. That used to mean something. I hope it still does. I think for many it does. But it's a good question for each of us to ask ourselves. Because just being a Christian for 20 years doesn't mean that these things are automatic, does it? Right? Doesn't mean it's automatic. Now, young people, listen to me. This is for you too. Okay? This is for you. So listen. Number three, what is the condition of my prayer life? Is it rushing out the door with breakfast on the dash, driving down the road? I'm not saying that that's not an adequate time to pray. I'm just asking you, what's the condition of your prayer life? Do you pray? Is your prayer on the run? Is my prayer just for God, help me and get me out of this and give me this? Or do I spend time in prayer, fellowshipping, communing, getting to know God? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That ought to be all of our desire. I'm not going to comment on each one of this, but I will say verse number four has gotten a hold of me on occasion in my life, and it's very easy to get bitter. It is. People's going to do you wrong. People's going to say things about you that they shouldn't say. It's going to happen. It's part of life. And if you're not careful, it can take root and become bitterness in your heart, and it will begin to paralyze you spiritually. Your prayers won't be answered. You go to talk to God and just feel like that heaven is brass. The door's shut, that God's out of prayer answering business. Why? Because you're harboring bitterness in your heart. A grudge. You're still mad at something someone done to you 5 years ago. Listen to me. There's not going to be a whole lot of revival in your life until you get that matter settled. You could be, listen, an attitude like that could be keeping the floodgates of heaven from opening. People from getting saved. God from doing what He desires to do in your life and in the life of others. This is real. We've got to take this stuff serious. God is sensitive. God means this. So, well, they shouldn't have done that, preacher. Well, I can't argue with that. I could say it too. I've had people do things they shouldn't have done, but I must be honest, I've done some things that I shouldn't have done too. And if I want people to forgive me, I know the Scripture teaches that I need to be willing to forgive them. Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even also as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Brethren, we can't be holding grudges and anger and bitterness in our heart, coming to church saying amen and thinking everything's okay. No, it's not either. I'm here to tell you, God's Word doesn't change for me, for you, or anyone else. Right? It's real. And so I want to ask you, if you're holding a little grudge or harboring a little bitterness, ill will, why don't you get that matter settled? You know? Get it settled. It might take a little humble pie. Boy, I tell you, that's what keeps a lot of us from doing a lot of things. We're so rotten proud that we won't come clean. We're just so proud. I tell you, God hates a proud look. The Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you now. Get some help this week. Get some help. I want some help. You want some help. There's people in this church that's going to be praying that their sons or their daughters or their family would come and get saved. And if we're sitting around harboring ill will and bitterness and gossip and slander, how is God going to move in the midst of that? Brethren, He's not. And so I'm not indicting anyone. Don't have anyone in mind except for myself. I want to be careful. This is serious. We want God to move. But God doesn't bless evil. God doesn't move where sin abounds. God doesn't move where people are stiff-necked an unbending, an unyielding. God doesn't move in that. And so let's each one inventory our own lives. I know it's, listen, it'd be easy for me to inventory your life and you to inventory my life. I understand that. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about each one of us inventorying our own life. Search me, the psalmist said. Search me, O God, and know my heart. If each one would do that, well, I think we'd get things going in the right direction, don't you? Yeah. Well, let's look at a couple more of these. You know, do you have any unconfessed sin in your life? If you do, God's not hearing your prayer. All right? I spoke about all against your brother. Do you love the brethren? Gossip, easily offended. Some people, I mean, you can't even look at them cross-eyed. And they, he don't like me. Well, if I don't like you, I'll tell you. Amen? I'm kind of made out of that stuff. And I think you are too. Right? You won't have, we won't keep you guessing. We'll let you know. Don't be so easily offended. Just because somebody didn't look at you right or shake your hand when they walked by, that doesn't mean they hate you forever. It could mean that they got a lot on their mind. Right? Amen. So don't be so easily offended. Guilty of the sin of stubbornness. And I know none of us have a problem with that, so I'll move on from that one. We've all got that one taken care of. How about relationship, verse number 11 there, with our mate, our children, our parents, employers, giving a good day's work? You know? What about our mate? Everything okay? You know, we having big family blowouts every day where everybody just speaks. You know, we're going to speak our piece. We're going to have a big family blow up. I got to tell you something now. Listen to me. So, well, preacher, right now, we got this thing on smooth sailing. So far, I'm checking off. Well, the devil is coming after you now. We're getting ready to go into a very important week at Fellowship Baptist Church. We got a great man of God coming who I believe with all of my heart God has sent for this time, for such a time as this. And I'm asking God and I'm expecting God to do great mighty things, and I'm asking you to join me, and many of you have, and those of you who haven't, right now get on board. God's going to do great mighty things. We're going to have to put out extra chairs. We're going to have many people saved. We're going to get closer to God. This is going to be a great week. All right? And so I don't want to do anything that would hinder that. See, I don't know about in your prayer group, but in this room right here, we have people who weep weekly because they have sons and daughters and brothers and sisters who are dying in their sin and going to hell. That means something to me. And I believe it means something to you. It means enough to me to where I don't want to do anything to hinder God moving. And I want the Spirit of God to move on their heart and bring them here. And then when they get here, I want Him to move on their heart and bring them to Him. Bring them to Christ that they might be saved. You see, we don't want to be that hardened church where God has written over the door, the glory hath departed, because we got so caught up in our way and our feelings and our this and our that. But we want to be that church. To God be the glory. Great things hath He done. Amen. Well, you see the rest of that. All right. Check it off. Take it home. That's why I gave it to you. Be honest with yourself. And I must be honest with myself. Brethren, we're not all perfect. I don't know, maybe it'll help you if I just let you know this. There's 16 things on this piece of paper, and I couldn't check all 16. If you can, okay. All I'm asking is you be honest with yourself. Be honest before God. Because you're going to be the loser if you're not honest before God. All right? I'd also ask you to read this. This is one of the most convicting little pamphlets I've ever read in my Christian life. Just take it home and read it. It challenges you. It's filled with Scripture. It's filled with searching your heart, allowing God to speak to you, taking you to another level. Now, I want to close tonight with this. I said, beginning tomorrow, I'd like to begin a 3-day fasting and praying, seeking God. I want to show you something. What happens when people do not seek God? Do you know? Well, first of all, it's the unregenerate heart. Many of you could quote to me Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Somebody tell me what verse 11 says. Just stand up and tell me. Anybody. Anytime. Come on, Curtis. Get there. Stand up and read it to me, buddy. That's right. How many seek after God? None. None of the unregenerate heart. None that are without God. None that don't understand God. There's none. But when you get saved, the greatest advice that you'll ever follow is to seek after God. Over and over and over and over and over and over again, when you read through this book right here, the authors of this book, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, continuously tell me, continuously tell you, seek after God. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Seek Him. Why? Brethren, that's the only hope we have in this old world. It's the only hope we have. It's seeking God. There's nothing in me that wants to seek God aside from God's Holy Spirit. But I am so thankful that His Spirit resides in me, and His Spirit resides in every born-again believer. And there is a yearning. It's not as deep as I desire it to be. It's not as often as I would hope it to be. But there's a yearning in my bosom to know the God of heaven, to seek after Him, to know Him. And when there's not that yearning, there's something broken in your heart. Let me read you just a few scriptures that I've chosen, and then we'll close tonight, okay? You can turn there if you like, but if not, you can just listen carefully, all right? The first scripture I'm going to read to you is found in 1 Chronicles. In 1 Chronicles, chapter number 16, in verse number 10, this is what the scripture says. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. That's good advice. That's good advice. And yet Paul would write over in Romans, there's none that seeketh after Him. But when you get saved, there's a person that comes to live within you. That's like one of those homing pigeons, amen. I mean, it will seek after God. And the Spirit of God will lead us to seek Him. I'm talking to you about seeking God. Seeking Him this week. Seek Him. Why? Because we're needy people. You won't have time to do it tonight, but just think about it. If you went home and you wrote down everything that you needed that you could do, you probably wouldn't have the time to do it in quite a while. And then write down everything that you needed that you can't do, that only God can do. And that'll give you a cause to seek. Seek Him. And when you begin to compare the two, you'll find that the things that you cannot do are the ones that really matter. They're really the ones that are relevant. They really are. You begin to look at the things that you wrote down that you could do, and you'll see they're so temporal and really not that important. That's why we need to seek God. The Scripture also says, speaking of seeking God, 2 Chronicles, chapter number 20, verse number 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. This is one of my favorite passages of Old Testament scripture. You know the story, and I'll not rehearse it, but if you do not know this story, where Jehoshaphat had heard the word and the people were shaken, and Jehoshaphat prayed unto God because he had been given the word that his armies were going to be destroyed, and God came on the scene, and they didn't have to even raise a weapon. God did something miraculous here. You need God to do a miracle in your life. Maybe someone that you love dearly has told you that they don't want to hear about your God. They don't want to hear about your church. They don't want to hear about your Bible. They don't want to hear about your heaven. They don't want to hear about your righteousness. You seek God. God can turn that heart. God can turn that heart. He can. God can turn hearts, brethren. God can soften hearts. The same heart, the same God that hardens the heart can soften the heart. And so you keep that in mind. Another scripture, Ezra, chapter number 7, verse number 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Seeking God, seeking His law, seeking His word, seeking God. I tell you, we seek a lot of things in life, and most of it is foolishness. But here's the greatest advice you'll ever get, and I pray it's the greatest advice that you will ever heed. Seek the Lord. Seek Him daily. Seek His face continually. Let me give you just a couple of more. The Scripture teaches in the book of Psalms, in verse number 34, Psalm 34, verse number 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. That's a promise, brethren. It's a promise. Psalm 105. Turn there if you would. Psalm 105. And again, if you're not turning, just listen carefully. Psalm 105, verse number 3 and 4. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them that rejoice, that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Why does the Bible keep telling us, seek God, seek God? He's what we need. He's what we need. He's who we need. He's all we need. Isaiah, turn there if you would. This will be the final one, and then I want to show you what happens when people don't seek the Lord. I'll just mention a couple and then we'll be through tonight. Okay, Isaiah 55. This one I think is my favorite. Isaiah 55. Look if you would in verse number 6. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 6, the prophet says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. You know, God has really bless Fellowship Baptist Church, hasn't He? And when I say God has blessed the church, I don't mean the buildings. And we're thankful for the facilities and the vehicles and the grounds, and I'm very grateful for that. But I mean, when I say God has blessed Fellowship Baptist Church, I mean God's blessed you and God's blessed me. We're the church. God's blessed us. There's two things in life that you never want to try to do without. God and the brethren. That's all we've got, brother. Amen? You think about it. In this old world, God and the brethren, we need encouragement. Where are we going to get it? God, the brethren. That's where we should get it. When we need a pick-me-up, when we need some help, when we need someone to encourage us and to encourage us, to coach us, just keep on, preacher. Just keep on. Don't give up. Sometimes we need that. Sometimes we feel like giving up. Sometimes we feel like quitting. Thank God for the brethren who say, just keep on. Just keep on. There's nothing to give up and go back to. Just keep on serving Jesus with your life. Amen? What happens when people don't seek the Lord? Let me give you two scriptures and then we'll be through tonight, okay? Turn, if you would, since we're in Isaiah, turn to Isaiah 31. Would you turn there? In Isaiah 31, we'll see one of the things that happens when people don't seek the Lord. Bad things happen when people don't seek the Lord. All right? Bad things happen when people do not seek the Lord. Isaiah 31. Listen carefully if you have not turned there, but if you have, it's in verse number 1. Isaiah 31, verse number 1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in the horsemen because they are very strong, because they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord! Exclamation mark. Woe unto those who's always looking for something out in this old world, Egypt, to fulfill and meet the need, but will not seek the Lord. So you be careful now to seek the Lord. Second Chronicles, and this will be the final scripture. Second Chronicles chapter number 12, and this will be the final scripture. There was a king who did evil. Why did he do evil? It's summed up very simply. The same reason that I do evil and you do evil when we get off track. The scripture says in 2 Chronicles chapter number 12, in verse number 14, And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. This week, I'm hoping that each one of us will continue, if we've already began, and if we haven't, we will begin to prepare our hearts to seek the Lord and ask God to do something special in our lives, to meet needs, to save loved ones. Sometimes we just need to be shaken up a little bit. I tell you, we work hard to be comfortable, but God works hard to keep us uncomfortable. Comfort is a bad place to be. It's a bad place to be in a position of comfort. We let our guard down. Oftentimes, that's when we fall the hardest. It's when we have sat back in ease and thought, I'm going to take it easy now. The enemy comes upon us swiftly. And so let us be aware that our adversary, as a roaring lion, is just seeking back and forth to whom he may devour. If I'd ask you to stand to your feet, I'm asking God to give us a great meeting. And I'm going to challenge you to do the same. And I want God to search my heart, to know me, to try me. And if there be any wicked way in me, I'm going to ask Him to deal with it and to lead me in the way. I want to come each night prayed up, confessed up, and I want to come ready to receive God's Word and to respond to it, whatever God lays on my heart. If God tells me to do it under the preaching of the Word and the ministry of His Holy Spirit, that's what I want to be willing to do. Are you willing to do that? If Dr. Comfort preaches the Word of God, and he will, are you willing to let God have His way in your life? You say, preacher, that's an easy question. Not so fast, my friend. You sure? You sure that's easy? I wouldn't say that. Because there's a lot of folks who are still holding on to things. I don't know why. Why do we do what we do? Because we're sinners at best. But I'm glad we're saved in the grace of God. And God wants to take us to another level. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Well, I've preached to you what God's laid on my heart. And I know that God wanted us to be prepared. Will you ask God for great and mighty things? If you will, He has said, call unto me, and I will answer thee. That's a promise. And show thee great and mighty things which thou knewest not. Will you be prepared to receive them when He shows? You will if you prepared your heart to seek the Lord. Father, take these thoughts and impress them deeply upon my heart and the hearts of your people. God, I pray for the meeting even now. I ask you, Lord, that you would continue to prepare and shape Dr. Comfort's heart. You would fill his heart with the words that you have for us, the messages that we stand most in need of. And help us as a people to humble ourselves and to in the spirit of humility, approach this week of meeting that is coming. May we lay bare our soul before the throne of grace. And God, I pray that you would do a work in every one of our lives. Draw us each one closer. God, deal with that sin that does so easily beset us. That weight that is keeping us back from running the race and gaining the victory and seeing the things that we need to see. And God, that's hindering you from working. Help me, help us, help Fellowship Baptist Church. God, I pray that the meeting this week will not only make a difference in this church, but in this community, in this area, and even around the world. Do something in our midst. Show yourself strong, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.